morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have you been?
Finally, good weather.
Yes, it has been very, very nice.
Sustained.
Yes, it's sustained. We've had a lot of sun out there, a lot of people out looking for houses. Yards are greening up. The pictures look good. I've been out retaking pictures, and now the yards are green instead of brown. Looks a little better on all the websites.
Lance, mine's still brown. They haven't turned on the irrigation yet.
Well, Tommy, if you got a little overzealous like me, you string some hoses out there and start watering.
So, have you aerated your yard?
No,
yet?
I haven't aerated, but I have. I did throw down some early fertilizer.
I got a sharp stick.
My wife said I was crazy just to be green a month early, but I did string some hoses out there and start watering.
I'm just going
to
wait it out.
Okay, you just wait it out until they turn irrigation on in a couple of weeks, and we'll be okay. You can come over to my house for the Easter egg hunt in the lush green yard.
Ooh, I like that.
Tom's will end up looking like Top Ramen.
If I see Tom out there on Sunday morning, I'll know now what's going on. And that is, of course, our resident in-house lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne with Sterling. Tom, thanks for being here again. Things are good with you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're keeping busy. A lot of new pre-approvals coming in. People getting ready to start buying houses. It's great.
Okay, perfect. Very good. Well, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate national story. And this week I pulled up one that was interesting. Past tennis star Pete Sampras and his wife are the buyers of a $5.997 million Bel Air estate, previously owned by the filmmaker Albert Brooks and before that Merv Griffin. So that'll buy you in Bel Air 5,100 square feet and, of course, Pete Sampras style with a tennis court. And that is actually a downsize for them. Previously, they had sold in 2013 a $13.5 million property. That was almost 16,000 square feet. So, Tom, I did a little research, and I thought, okay.
As always.
What can we do here? So, I'll tell you what. So, $5.997 million. I'm going to do for you, just because I just feel like it's necessary. I'm going to drop the 5 off of there. And just for the $0.997 million, I'm going to get you that tennis court here in Tri-Cities. And I'm going to get it on the river.
Nice.
So I can replicate.
You even took a digit off of it, huh?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to drop the whole $5 million. And for basically the $997,000, we can go out to the river. We can get a beautiful, beautiful home on the river with a tennis court. It's not even my listing, so I'm going to solely represent you as the buyer. And we might even hammer it a couple thousand less than that and be able to get it done for you. So that's how we're relating that to our local real estate story here for sure.
Wow.
But that's a real listing. I did some looking around and said, okay, let's find some tennis courts here and relate that story locally. So
we should get Pete on the horn and see if he wants to invest and try to get it.
Okay, perfect. We'll drop the $5 million and bring him on over here. So that is kind of our crazy national real estate story with a little bit of a local twist on it this week. This time of year, one of the biggest things that we see happening in real estate, and one of the things that we've talked about on the show before and comes up a lot, and that is home inspections. There are so many things that can happen with home inspections, things to be looking for, and things you can be doing to prepare ahead of time. So I decided to bring an expert on the show to talk about that. So I called up a home inspector we've done a lot of business with and said, why don't you come on the show? He said, I have no interest in being on the radio, Lance, but I will agree reluctantly to come talk about it. So we have with us Mr. Ron Shank with NPI. Ron, how are you?
I am super. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for reluctantly agreeing to be on the show.
Well, that's not exactly true, but I'm happy to be here.
Okay, good. Yes, you definitely we appreciate having you in here, and we appreciate all the work you've done for us in the past. So one of the things, we always just start with our guest and said, gosh, just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to home inspection and your background. And, yeah, just give us a little background.
Well, I grew up here in Eastern Washington. I am a native Washingtonian, and I live in Kennewick with my family, and my lovely wife, Terry, and my daughter, Cheyenne, and my son, Tyler. And basically, I have been in the construction industry for, oh, for crying out loud, probably 20, 25 years. And, you know, I moved into the home inspection business probably, oh, it's been about 14 years ago, and just loving every minute of it.
Absolutely. Great. That is fantastic. And now NPI, what does that stand for? What's the affiliation there?
NPI is National Property Inspection. They are a national home inspection organization. It's a franchise. They're based out of Omaha, Nebraska. They're a great company, and I've been with them for 11 years now.
So that was one of the things I said. You know, you go to the phone book, and people ask agents all the time and stuff, and they say, gosh, who should I choose, or who do you have experience with, or who do you recommend? And there's a lot of choices out there. So what... Why NPI? You know, what makes you guys different?
Well, bottom line with NPI and the Tri-Cities is we just give our clients more for their money. We do more as far as the inspection than the average home inspection company does. We include things like a pest inspection with every home inspection. We include a thermal image scan of the house, which is infrared imaging. We do that with every home inspection. And, you know, a lot of the other companies around the area are doing infrared, but they charge extra for it.
What is the infrared looking for?
Well, what we use it for with every inspection we do is moisture and the electrical hotspots.
So that's used for the energy audit?
So, no, we don't do an energy audit. We basically use it for moisture and electrical electrical hotspot spots.
Great.
Is that like,
great.
I mean, is that like bad wiring? Or
potentially, yes, absolutely. If you have a, for example, if you had an electrical outlet and you had a loose connection on the back of that outlet and it was causing a resistance, it's going to cause heat, which is going to show up as a hotspot on that image with that camera.
That's amazing how the technology and stuff has changed.
Wow.
So one of the things, and I know that's a real specific part of the home inspection, but one of the things that we like to do and check out is kind of walk us through the basics for the buyers out there that are thinking about a home inspection and not sure exactly what that gets them. How does that process work? How does it go? And kind of what systems are you checking for?
Well, a general home inspection basically covers all the major components of a home. So we are going to start on the outside of that house. We're going to inspect the foundation, the siding, the roof. We're going to do a thorough inspection of that exterior. We're going to check all the electrical outlets, the exterior hose bibs, all that kind of stuff. And then once we're done with the exterior, we're going to move inside and we're going to go through the electrical. We'll open up the electrical panel, do a thorough inspection of that panel's interior. We run all the appliances in the home. We check the plumbing system. We look for any kind of leaks. And, of course, we get up in the attic, look at the insulation, framing, all that good stuff.
So that is a lot. I mean, outside to inside, top to bottom appliances.
It really is a top to bottom inspection. Yeah.
That's fantastic. And one of the things, I mean, people ask us all the time. They're like, they come to me and they say, well, Lance, what do you think about this home inspection? And even on new construction, a lot of times we get that question more often than not. You know, there was a building inspection, right? They had to do a building inspection, and it's new construction, so no problem. It's fine, right? And I'm usually the first one to say, no, it's not really no problem, because they're not doing building inspections and those checkoffs, those permits. Those are not as in-depth of an inspection as you're providing. They're looking for very basic things on a checklist.
That's exactly right. A code inspection is and that's what the city inspectors and the municipality inspectors are doing. They're doing a code inspection. code is basically the minimum standards to make a home habitable.
I like the way you put that. Yeah,
wow.
No, that's a great idea. I'm going to use that now when I talk to clients because you're like, yeah, building inspectors check code. They check for the minimum standards required.
To make it livable and
safe. Yeah, so if we hit the minimums, great, we're good. And I always think back, and I'm sure you have thousands of examples, but I even remember a new construction house once where the gas furnace was in the attic and one of the gas connections was loose.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was just, you know, leaking gas out there in the attic. And I don't know, I'm not an expert, but last time I checked, a lot of that extra gas floating around up there is probably not the best idea.
Well, how about letting that go on for about 6 years?
Yeah.
And you're going to have that hazard of an explosion, and you're also going to have the excess gas that you're paying for.
So it's
breathing.
And that was in brand new construction. So things like that just happen with a lot of the different trades and stuff in there. Now, we talked a lot about what is covered by the home inspection, where you guys go over what's not covered by a home inspection that maybe buyers should think about.
Well, generally, you need to be careful when you hire a home inspector. You need to find out what is included in that inspection,
right?
Because not all home inspections are created equal. So, like I was saying, with our inspection, we include a pest inspection. We include the infrared. We also do a free re-inspect. So if there's repairs that need to be done, we come back at a later date and verify that those repairs were done. And that's at no charge.
That's huge. And
costs $150 each time.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a huge service.
And yeah, and there are, you're right, Tom. You've seen it on the re-inspects and stuff. And that's really nice because I think there's a lot to be said for somebody, the person that had eyes on a problem before it was handled, and then you ask a seller to make those repairs or a buyer makes those repairs, and then getting that same person back to say now what has changed really kind of verifies if the work was done right and the original problem was corrected. And so for you to come back and do those free re-inspects, that's just a huge, huge service to the buyer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. That is fantastic. And then now what about people ask all the time, like, what about stuff like swimming pools or sprinkler lines?
Well, if you hire the average inspector in the Tri-Cities, they don't inspect those things.
Gotcha.
They don't do the pools. They don't do the sprinkler systems. I am one of the inspectors in the Tri-Cities that can and will inspect those.
Okay.
It is at an additional fee.
Right. Yep, absolutely.
But it's a pretty minimal fee.
Okay. And once again, I always tell people, you are making a purchase hundreds of thousands of dollars.
The biggest one of your life.
More than, in most cases, it is the biggest one of your life. So should we go ahead and spend the money for a home inspection? I find it to be terrifically cheap insurance for verifying what you're getting for that most important purchase, potentially the largest purchase that you will make in your lifetime.
And if you're doubting it, just go watch the movie, The Money Pit.
Great, great example.
Well, you know, Lance, I just had a client last week that they were purchasing a home. They're under contract on it. They got an inspection. They ended up not buying the house. There was just too many repairs that they had to make. And so I'm talking to him, and he's like, geez, you know, now I'm out this few hundred dollars here. And I had to change the way he was looking at it because, you know, getting that inspection and spending that extra few hundred dollars saves him potentially thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, thousands and thousands of dollars, and maybe the biggest mistake he would have made in the next 3 to 4 years and then trying to recover from it. So great, great examples. We're coming up on our first break. When we're going to come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Ron here about home inspections, and we're going to go to the lending side and talk with Tom Corn at Sterling.
We'll be right back on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking with Ron Shank of NPI Inspections. We appreciate him coming in to talk about the craziness of home inspections. Hopefully, we like home inspections that are not crazy, that are very simple with minor repairs, but they don't always go that way. But he has seen a lot of it and helped a lot of our buyers and sellers through that process. Before we talk to Ron some more, though, Tom, what's going on in lending this week that we need to know about?
Well, Lance, you know, considering we got an inspector here on the show, I figured I would talk about home appraisals. So I get a lot of clients who confuse what is a home inspection and what is a home appraisal. So I think it's a great topic to cover and just kind of refresh people who maybe aren't clear on what an appraisal is. An appraisal is the opinion of a certified state licensed professional who determines the value of a piece of property or a home. To come up with the value of a home, the appraiser looks at the size of the home, the features, and the condition of the property. They'll then look at the quality of the materials used in the home. They'll look at the area in which the home's located, and then they'll look at market trends in the area that may affect value. The appraiser then compiles all this information and finds comparable homes that have sold recently that are located close to the property, and that helps them determine the value of the home. When we order an appraisal, we have to randomly select a third-party appraiser to appraise on a property. When I order an appraisal, I literally have no idea who that appraiser is, what company they work for, when it's going to be done, nothing. And this is important to us because it helps us be objective and make sure there's no coercion in between.
Collusion, funny business, yeah, all that stuff.
Exactly. So it's really to protect the client, and it's a good thing. But their job is to give us an objective opinion about the value of a home, and we're heavily relying on them to be objective and give us an accurate idea what that value is. It's really important to us, the lender, because it ensures that the property is worth what we're investing into it. We wouldn't lend $200,000 on a home if it's only worth $150,000.
Right.
So we look at this appraisal as a safeguard to protect our investment in the home. Now, I believe the appraisal is equally important to the home buyer as well. So it's important to the home buyer to know exactly what the home is worth, and they want to know it's worth exactly what they're spending on it. If your $300,000 dream home is only worth $250,000, then that home is probably overpriced. It's very, very rare that I ever see a client willing to spend more on a property than what the home is worth. Generally, if their appraisal comes in low, then they're coming back to Lance and saying, hey, Lance, I think we need to go back to the listing agent and rework this price. So it protects the client and makes sure they're not getting into a negative equity position right from the start. So as you can see, a home inspector, home appraiser serve two very different purposes. When coming up with the value of a home, an appraiser will likely make notes on obvious issues of a home, things that just jump out at them, but they're not going to go and test your heat and air, check the chimney, determine if the plumbing, electrical, everything's up to code. That's the job of the inspector.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we run into a lot is kind of there's a two-stage process there that happens. Generally, the home inspection is done first to really assure if the buyer feels good about the property and is willing to move forward. After that inspection hurdle has been completed and negotiated, then a lot of times we'll move into the realm of ordering the appraisal. Now, where sometimes sellers need to consider and is difficult to deal with sometimes, is a lot of times you'll finish up negotiations on a home inspection and the seller might not be willing to fix everything or might not want to or feel they factored that into the price. But then many times the appraisal can call out conditions of the home that they require to be completed before they'll lend on it. So you're almost renegotiating again at that point if the seller's going to be willing to do that stuff to make the home financeable.
Yeah, one of the first things we always look at is this appraisal as is or subject to? As is what we hope to see, meaning that the appraiser has basically said this home is livable, there's no major issues with it, but occasionally we'll see it subject to. And it could be subject to peeling paint or something I've been seeing a lot is missing carbon monoxide detectors. Mm-hmm. And until those items are addressed and fixed, we won't lend on the home.
And so sometimes we're dealing with good, bad, or indifferent. We're dealing with three sets of negotiations: the original negotiations, the inspection negotiations for repairs or credits, and then any appraisal negotiations. So that's one of those things that can make the deal get a little complicated when you're dealing with three sets of negotiations. Mm-hmm. But our job is to follow through with those, make sure things keep moving forward, and deal with those issues. Thanks, Tom, for that information. So, Ron, back to you and inspections. We could probably do a couple hours on all of the crazy things that you've seen. But one of the questions that I get from a lot of folks, and we've seen it become more popular. We talk to a lot of people about this, is how can a seller best prepare for a potential home inspection?
Well, it's a great question, and we do, we occasionally run into issues as far when we show up to do the inspection, we may have an inaccessible area. Home inspectors generally do not move items to do an inspection.
Right, because that's someone's personal property.
Exactly, and if we damage something or break something during the process, then we're going to be held responsible for it. So we try to avoid moving stuff. Occasionally, if it's just a simple movement of a box or something to get to an electrical panel, we're going to do that. I do, at least. So the electrical panel, typically they're in the garage. You know, newer homes are almost always in the garage. You have stuff stored constantly in the garage.
Right, exactly.
Sometimes stacked from the floor to the ceiling.
Yep.
So the seller needs to make sure that panel's clear so we can get to it. We need to remove, we don't need to just open the door. We need to actually remove the cover from the panel so we can actually do a visual inspection of the interior of that panel.
Gotcha.
Other things, what's that?
I was going to say under the house too, crawl space.
Exactly. That was where I was going next, was a crawl space. Crawl space access, a lot of times they're in the closets.
Yeah,
where do you put your closet?
That wonderful hall closet under the stairs,
yep,
where you want to pile all your stuff.
Exactly. So it's really, it comes down to access. The seller needs to give us access to the major things, like the panel, the crawl space access, the attic access. Yesterday I had a car parked under the access in the garage, so I couldn't get into the attic.
Right. So that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So you didn't want to hop up on top of that car and
probably a little liability
up
there.
Yeah. I'd get one end of my ladder up there, maybe.
You didn't want to end up like that guy in the Allstate commercials with, you know.
Yeah.
Mayhem.
Mr. Mayhem. Those are the best commercials. I tell you what, my kids get a kick out of that for sure. So one of the other things that we've talked about with home sellers and stuff is a lot of times if we see that there could be a lot of issues or somebody has questions about something, in a perfect world, we're seeing more sellers start to do a pre-home inspection prior to even putting their house on the market. Are you doing a lot of those?
You know, we do quite a few of them. I wouldn't say we do a lot. I think it's a great idea. You're basically inspecting the property prior to advertising for sale, so you can make any necessary repairs to that property prior to a prospective buyer coming along, and then they're going to hire an inspector. So why not take care of those issues ahead of time? If you've got some minor issues with the home and you know about it, and maybe you don't know about it, but let's get an inspector in there, get them to go through it, give you a thorough inspection of that property so you know what you're dealing with before you even get into the whole negotiation process.
Well, that's one of the things we've done in the past, and you've done that for several of our clients and our sellers, and it's really nice because a lot of times you get maybe a first-time home buyer, somebody not familiar with home ownership, and they might be a little hesitant or scared about the process anyway. And when you deliver a buyer like that, a sheet from a home inspector that has, say, 15 items on it, it's a little overwhelming and a little scary, like, oh my gosh, I've got to fix all 15 of these things. Where if you've had a seller that has gotten that sheet, looked at it, and said, well, gosh, I can knock out, 11 of these things easily prior to listing. When the buyer has their home inspection and they get back a list of things that need to be done, and there's only four things on that list, it makes them feel comfortable about purchasing that house.
That's exactly right.
And so there's a lot of power in that pre-home inspection and can definitely be a really good tool.
It also shows that seller doesn't have anything to hide, and they're basically taking the initiative to display any issues that might be with that house.
Yeah, they're really giving full disclosure, saying we've had it inspected. Here's the inspection report. You can look at exactly what you're going to be getting. So a lot of times when that's done, those transactions really go smooth.
Well, and it can save the seller money, too. If they say they don't get that inspection and there's items that they could have addressed maybe easily themselves over a month or two-month period, those are just things that a buyer can't come back later and ask for a reduction in price, or
you're exactly right. It could be something in their mind was a $3,000 or $4,000 adjustment, and you were able to fix it for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great point. One of the things we're always interested about hearing from our guests is in your industry, you know, we know there's been a lot of changes in real estate and technology and search. In your industry in the last couple of years, what's been the biggest change you see your industry facing?
Well, you know, I think technology is again, probably one of the biggest things. It's changing in everything we do in life, and home inspections included. You know, we've talked about the infrared imaging. 10 years ago, that was unheard of in a home inspection. Now it's pretty much standard practice. I would say, well, there's a lot of home inspectors in the Tri-Cities, and I would say there's a handful that do the infrared imaging, especially with, you know, including every inspection. So technology is probably the number one thing. You know, a few years back, the state of Washington did go to mandatory licensing of home inspectors.
Right.
Prior to that, anybody could do a home inspection. Anybody could call themselves the home inspector. So the licensing.
Wow. McKay's laughing.
Hi, I'm a dentist.
Right. Yeah. No, that's almost how it was.
So the licensing, I think, did a lot for the consumer as far as protection.
Good.
And the one thing the state did not do is require insurance. So you have to have a home inspector license, but you don't have to have any kind of insurance.
Oh, wow.
So the good inspectors out there do carry Arizona Emissions Insurance.
Good.
It's a standard thing in the business.
Yeah.
I can't imagine going out and doing home inspections without being covered.
Yeah, no. It would just
crawling under houses.
Yeah, it would just
climbing over cars.
And there's a lot of potential there for things, yeah.
So. Exactly. Well, the insurance is more or less for the consumer itself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I go out and do an inspection and I make a major fault and I miss something big, there's protection there for the consumer.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. That's good to know. And then, of course, for our listeners out there, we have to talk cost. How much does all this cost? I mean, you're there at the house and looking at all these systems. What's that cost?
You know, the average inspection fee is actually fairly low. You know, my basic inspection fee is about $375.
Okay.
And that includes, like we've already talked about, the infrared scan, the pest inspection, and the free re-inspect.
That is a great value. I've seen a lot of the costs out there, and that is a fantastic value.
Now, of course, there's the high end. You know, we can get up into the bigger houses. There's a house that I inspected in the Tri-Cities in the last year that the inspection fee was $2,800.
Right.
I mean, if that was a 17,000 square foot house.
Yeah, you get to a massive transactions and big areas like that. It can really get up there for sure.
Yeah, and we also do commercial properties as well.
Oh, good. Okay,
so, I'd say the most expensive inspection I've done, apartment complex in Kenilworth for $5,000.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine.
That's a multi-day process.
Multi-day and number of units and documenting, that would be a lot for sure. And then we're not going to let you off the hook. So whenever we have a guest in their industry, before they leave, they have to tell us one crazy story, mm-hmm, or something that you've seen that you were just like, I can't believe this is happening to me today, or I can't believe this is actually in a home.
I've got a couple real quick stories for you.
No, we don't give any names out. We protect the innocent.
Nope.
Okay. Or the guilty. Okay.
So the first one, I'll start with a 7-year-old house I inspected in Pasco on the golf course. Beautiful stucco home. Tile floors, absolutely beautiful home. I've got the crawl space is always the last thing I do when I do a home inspection. So I get through this whole inspection and I'm down to the crawl space. And I really don't have any major problems with this house. I get in the crawl space and the main support beams holding this house up are absolutely completely distorted and ready to fail at any second.
Oh, wow. The support beams of the house.
This house, it was absolutely scary. When I was in this house, I was afraid for my life.
Like, you think it's going to fall down?
It could have been at any moment. It was unbelievable.
Oh, my
gosh. So that ended up being about a $20,000 repair.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was absolutely amazing. It was a 7-year-old house on the golf course.
And no real indication of that until you're in the crawl space.
Absolutely no indication.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing.
So, second story, people in the Tri-Cities don't think we have a termite problem, which we really don't as far as in a whole. We don't have a big termite problem. But I was in a Richmond, old North Richmond government house, and walking down the basement, into the basement, you can look over into the crawl space. Now, picture this. You're walking down the stairs. You look to your right, and you're looking into the crawl space. I'm looking directly underneath the support posts. They are completely chewed off at the ground level by termites.
Oh my gosh.
These are 12 by 12 posts, and they're completely gone at the bottom. You have daylight all the way underneath them.
That is just crazy.
It was crazy.
Use those as an example, people. Get a home inspection.
Because those are the items that you're just not trying to look at every day. And it just blows my mind. We're all just shaking our heads in the studio because...
There's a lot of give to this
floor. Exactly right. That's really crazy. Well, Ron, if people need a home inspection or need things checked out, what is the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Well, they can visit our website, which is northwestinspector.com. Northwest is all spelled out. Or you can call my lovely wife, Terry, at 509-832-3427.
Well, sounds great. Well, thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know spring and everything going on is crazy. We really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for the information. And Tom, thanks again for all the information on the lending side. If you missed any of the contacts for Tom or Ron or anybody here to show, you can always go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot me a message. We'll get it right over to you. And, of course, we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.